entire team. They've put in so much effort. So thank you very, very much. And thanks to Bhakti Lata also for the wonderful kirtan. And on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I would like to welcome all of you for this wonderful Chetna Festival. We're really grateful to each and every one of you that on a Saturday evening, there are many things one could do in Mumbai. But you've spared your precious time to come over here. So thank you very much. The topic that we will be discussing today is victory in defeat. Yeah? So victory is something that, you know, goes to say you're an achiever. No? One who is victorious is an achiever, is successful. Yes? Yeah, that's how what you understand by victory? Yes. So I was just, remembering a story that Srila Prabhupada would often quote. The story has a lot of deep learning, but what I thought probably we could learn in this aspect would be, like once there were two friends, huh? And they were arguing about something. So they were both standing at a river bank, and they were arguing. So they were arguing about how something could be cut. So one said, you can cut it with a knife. And the other said, no, you cut it with a scissor. Okay, it's a very small, trivial thing, but they were into a very deep argument. And you know how arguments are, right? Sometimes they just don't have any basis, but you just argue for the sake of arguing, right? So both of them were like, no knife. Another says, no scissor. And they say, knife, no scissor, no knife, no scissor. And the one who says knife gets very irritated. He's so upset that he pushes the other person who's saying scissor into the river. And the person just falls into the river. Unfortunately, he probably didn't know how to swim also. So as he is going down the river, what do you think he was doing? He was trying to lift his hand high up, still saying, huh? He's drowning down, but he's still saying, yeah, scissor. Huh? That means I'm right. Please. So I still want to have the last word in it. Yeah? So I'm still victorious. Yes? Usually we see in this, in the trains, I think almost all of us who travel by trains encounter, right? In the ladies' compartment. Huh? They have these. The issue is hardly anything. Probably your elbow just nudged someone in some way, or you probably looked with a very bad gaze at someone. Whatever the issue is, but they get into these heated fights, arguments, and they're screaming and they're yelling and they're shouting, and it just goes on and on and on, with each one wanting to prove. What? That I am going to be the last word on this. Huh? And the one who finally is the last word, she says, Dekha, chup kar diya isko. Yes? So it's like this. Next. So the tendency to be the winner, the tendency to be the one who is, victorious, is always there. It's inherent. And this doesn't start later. It starts very early. Yeah? Next. You see these children? Yes? Even when a toddler is running in a race. You just remember how you were in school and, everyone wants to be the first. Yeah? I am the one who's a winner. Yeah? I am the one who's victorious. Yes? There is these, coaching classes and so many other institutes, they say, we create winners. We create toppers. Yes? So people pay heavy amount of money because everybody wants to be a winner or a topper. Right? Everyone wants to be victorious. Right? Nobody puts a board saying, we create losers. You think anyone's going to pay money there? We create losers. Oh yeah, I want to be one. No. It's so inherent. You see this? No, go back. You see that baby there? Yes, I'm the winner, like always. So it's so tuned in, victory. Yes? I was just, as you're thinking about this topic, I remember in India, cricket is a huge game. Probably not so much West. So I don't know, I don't think Bhakti Lata will relate to it, but I'm sure each and every Indian will relate to it. It's cricket. So I remember in 1983, when I was a very small girl, and India won the World Cup. I think almost none of you, probably except a few, must have been there at that time. And I didn't know what is the, you know, intricacies of cricket or how it's played or anything. But I still remember, as a young girl, there's so much hype. India won the World Cup. It was such, and mind you, this is 1983, when there's no internet, there's no mobiles. The only television we had was a black and white, very few color TVs maybe. But it was such a major thing. In fact, I was going to put that 1983 World Cup thing, but I was sure none of you will know them. So I didn't. So I put the recent World Cup photograph. Okay, so many things have happened, but they were raised to a pedestal and they were like, wow, they have done the thing that India needs. What? Won the World Cup. And then, of course, I don't know what is the history later of cricket, but then I think recently sometime again, they won the World Cup. Yeah. But if you see what happens, their celebration, the persons who are victorious are celebrating, the team is celebrating, the country is celebrating. Yeah. But quite a few times, it also happens that they lose. Yes? Turn. Is it clear? Are these slides clear? They are back? Can you all see? They also lose. Now what happens when they lose? The very people who are waiting with garlands to welcome them, you know, the airport, they're running behind them for autographs and everything, are burning their photographs, burning their houses, damaging their houses. So what happened? What happened to that victory? Was it not a victory? What was it then? What do you say? Was it a victory or was not a victory when they got the World Cup? Was it or it was not? Please speak out. And actually my ears are blocked. So I can't hear unless you speak really loudly. So was it a victory or was not a victory? It was. Then why, when they lose the next time, they're burning, they're blasting them, the pages and pages written about how bad they are. The same people. Why? This is something we need to think. Right? Now, following this, there will be a few slides, which is basically to stimulate our thinking, okay, to see and analyze what exactly do we mean by victory, okay? What is the general understanding of victory, and what do we mean by victory? Usually the understanding of victory is achievement, success, yeah? A lot of fame, maybe some wealth, yeah? So many. This is a general understanding, right? But we'll just run through the next few slides, yes, which are usually people, most of them are known to most of you, amongst the Indians who have been, and some from out also, who have been known people who have achieved some success, who have been victorious in some sphere of life or the other. All right? Next. There are Bollywood stars. Star that you see here on the screen is just one of them. But he's a major personality. He actually defined what is stardom in Bollywood. He's one of the superstars of his era. To the extent that, you know, people would name children after him. The whole generation, if you see, there are so many Rajesh, because his name was Rajesh Khanna. So many. Literally, parents would just name Rajesh, you know, Rajesh, so many Rajeshes, because they were born in that era when he was a superstar. And literally, in that time, when he was the number one, there were girls who would write letters to him with their blood. He would receive mail with blood, you know. They were asking for what? I want to marry you. Can you imagine? So many lakhs of people, and that is his achievement. Okay? His awards and fabulous wealth, and all that is here. But where is he? Where is he? The number one position, someone else is there. But where is he? The next, I don't know if most of you recognize, but that's Ronald Reagan. When I was young in school, he was the president of the United States. And that time, US was really evolving as a superpower. And he was a very powerful, you know, president. And I was really, you know, whenever we'd see, and I would see this, you know, I would be in awe. Wow, you know, what a great personality. He was president of the United States, one of the most powerful countries. And so many things. But do you know what happened later? Anybody has any idea? In his last days, he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Now, Alzheimer's disease is a disease where you lose your memory completely. You don't even recognize who you are. So forget about him remembering that he was a president of the United States, but he didn't even know who he is. Next. Anybody knows who this is? Loudly. Muhammad Ali. Who is he? Yeah, he's a boxing champion. For years, undefeatable. He would just pound people on the boxing arena and they'd be finished on the floor. But you know what happened to him? He got Parkinsonism. And the same person who could pound people to pulp finds it difficult to wear his button. Why? Because his fingers are trembling so much that it's so difficult for him to even button his shirt. Yeah? Who's number one? But there's someone else now who's number one. Right? He's not there. Next. And so many other personalities. I've just put in a few because obviously I can't keep talking about that. Right? But this is for to set our thinking. All right, there's Adolf Hitler, all of us know. Huge. Germany and World War II. But Germany is still here. Everything is here. But where is he? He fought to make Germany the, you know, controller of everything. But Germany is here. But where is Adolf Hitler? Anyone knows? Are you all awake? Yes. I hope you just don't drift off. So many actresses and so many Miss Indias and so many Miss Worlds and so much of victorious. When someone wins Miss India or some Miss Actress, they're actually, you know, defeating so many people, right? They're not the only ones. They defeat so many people to get that coveted award, right? Yes? You agree?
Yes.
But where are all of them now? Famous industrialists, their industries are still there. As this industrialist who used to say, "Kar lo dunya mutthi mein." Very powerful statement, "Kar lo dunya mutthi mein." But dunya to hai idhar. Aap kahan hai aur aapki mutthi kahan hai? Where is he and where is his mutthi? Yes? So the purpose of these slides is basically to set us thinking. Where are we? What is victory? What is achievement? What is of value? What direction am I going in life? Yes? And this only a human can think. Right? You agree? Yes? Nobody else can think. And if we don't think, then we don't fall into the category of humans. Yes? Right? There will be many of your friends who say, enough. I don't want to listen to this. Ho raha hai na? Hone do. Chal raha hai na? Chalne do. I don't want to hear about it. Bore mat karo. With all your negatives, please. You see that? Anyone has any idea? What is that other one? Loud love. Ostrich. What is the special feature of an ostrich? Someone, loudly. Sorry? Fastest. Yes, very good. Anything else? Yes. Whenever there's a predator, whenever there is danger, what does an ostrich do? It just buries its head in the sand. So what happens? It can't see the danger. So if there's nothing, there's no danger. Yeah? Right? But does that mean danger is not there? It's there. But the ostrich wants to close its eyes. No danger. Yes? So most of the population adopts this ostrich mentality. Please. Right now everything's okay in my life? Fine. I don't want to hear. I'm okay. When if something goes or not okay, I'll come back to you. But now I don't want to hear. It's not that bad. You have to show me Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Abhi nahi hai na. Mujhe to nahi hai na. Why are you troubling me with all this information? I'm fine. Huh? But as humans, we have to think, question. And why does this phenomena occur? Why do things change? Why are people pushed out of their positions, whether they like it or not? Who wants to move away from number one? Who wants to be a loser? Huh? Who wants to be defeated? Anyone? No, but they're forced to. Why? How do we explain this phenomena? And sadly, none of our universities, none of our professors, none of us, even with 10 degrees after our name, will be able to explain on the basis of our academic education. You agree? Any of you in any of your colleges or schools have been taught why this happens? Yeah? The only thing we are taught is go to the top. Problem. That's your problem. But reach the top. Push anyone, jump on anyone, stamp on anyone, just go up. Yes? When you do your MBA, say just push. Don't bother about anything. Just push. Climb, 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 climb up. Climb on anyone, climb anything, do anything to climb up. Yes? But what happens after that? What do you have to deal with? No one teaches that. So where do we go? Where do we find the answers to these questions? So at that time, the only option we have is to consult the person who's made this creation. You and I have not made this creation. Yes? Any of you feel you have created here? None of us have made this creation. So the person who's created is standing and he is given. Next. So we consult that, right? The scriptures are basically the word of the creator, the person who is created. So, and amazingly, these scriptures contain answers to all these questions. Yes, only dearth is that we don't know, we don't approach them. But when we approach, all the answers are there. All the answers. So today, amongst all the scriptures, what we are going to consult is, which is this? Can everyone see? Which is it? Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So we'll just check with the Bhagavad Gita what it says. What is the Lord explaining in the Bhagavad Gita with regard to this? Bhagavad Gita is huge. Huge not in size, but the depth of knowledge that one can get is immense. It's huge. Okay? It's just voluminous in depth, not in size. 700 verses is not huge. But the amount, the depth is amazing. But what we will deal today is just to answer the few thinking thoughts that we have started off with. Okay? Yes. So the basic understanding, for any understanding, if one wants to study the Bhagavad Gita, the first thing and right at the beginning, Lord Krishna makes it very clear. You know, there's something like funda. Basic funda. Yes? Sub subject mein funda hota hai. Right? Any subject. You have to have your basics clear. Right? Otherwise you can't build on anything. Correct? So he also gives the fundas right at the outset. And what is a basic funda? That our real identity is we are spirit soul. You're not the body, you're the soul. First thing. Second, soul is eternal. No one can destroy the soul. Nothing can damage the soul. The soul is eternal. But the soul is situated when we take birth. That means the soul enters a material body. This body. Okay? But this body is not eternal. This body is temporary. Soul is eternal, but the body is temporary. So Prabhupada says, he uses a very nice word. You know, he says, it's an incompatible situation. Soul is eternal, covering is temporary. Okay? So, that is the first basic funda. And what is the cause of all the distress? What is the cause of all our problems? That misidentification. We forgot the identification that we are not this body. We are thinking we are the body. But we are not this body. We are the soul. And immediately when we start identifying, what happens? I am Indian, I am Gujarati, I am this. I am Muslim, I am Hindu. I am Indian, I am Pakistani. I am rich, I am poor. This is my child. This is my husband. This is my father, my community, my nation. All related to the body. And so many things caused distress caused by misidentification with the body. This is a basic funda. If we have to proceed further with the discussion, this point should be clear. Is it fine? Everyone agrees?
Yes.
Can we move ahead?
Yes.
Okay. Next. When you go to some, you know, shopping mall and supermarket and everything, you know, they have this package deal. Yes? Ek par ek free. You buy one, you get one. Yeah, so many of them have, right? But material nature is very liberal. You know, material nature is very liberal. She doesn't give ek par ek free. She gives ek pe bahut sara free. Lot of things are free along with that. So when we take a material body, we get lot of things free. And it's compulsorily given to us. Okay, there's no discount, there's no option in that. It's free. What is that? Take a birth with a material body. Package deal is, we get old age, disease and death. Part of the package. Whether we like it or don't like it. Yes? They don't ask you to tick options. Want this, don't want this. No. Material body given, material nature hands over, take. Package deal. Yes? Old age, disease and death. And the Bhagavad Gita further explains, Lord Krishna explains, that this material world is temporary. And is full of miseries. I have not put any happiness. This is the creator is saying. It's full of miseries. Okay? So, this comes as a part of the package. Next. What is ticking away? Time. Time ticks away. Yeah? We can't stop it. Can anyone do that? Sunrise, stop. Sunset, stop. Just ticks away. And with the ticking of the watch, the clock, with time ticking away, what happens? This is a nature that everything degenerates. Everything starts getting destroyed slowly, slowly, slowly. Whether it's the body, whether it's the things around, But this is the nature. The material nature is designed. The person who's created has designed it in such a way that it will disintegrate. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, time I am the destroyer of everything that exists. Creation is there and it will disintegrate. So whether one likes or not, body will disintegrate. Old age will come part of the package deal. Whether we like or not. It said that Walt Disney, amazing creations he has. So when he was about to die, he called his best doctors and he said, please, the day, I know I'm going to die now, but preserve my body. Because tomorrow if you all discover something, you know, so you all can make me alive, a lot of work left. I have so much to do. Some unfortunately it's not happened so far. And according to Bhagavad Gita, it will not happen. But probably he was hoping for something. Yeah? But this is the nature. Yes? So time ticks away. It destroys everything and everyone. Irrespective. And this is applicable to everyone. Huh? This package deal is not only for people in Mumbai or India and South Africa and not for the, you know, the sheikhs of the Middle East. They are spared. Or the billionaire tycoons are spared of the package deal. No, package deal is for everyone. Yes? And time ticks for everyone. Today I just, there was a newspaper, you know, on the way, and they had an ad of some new housing. They're building some very opulent buildings in South Bombay. And they said, here time waits still for you. What's that? How's that possible? Time will go at your pace. I mean, this is the ad. This is the ad. They said, time will wait still for you. It just stops. What an illusion. And you'll buy a house thinking that time will wait for me there? No? Next. Third thing which is explained in the Bhagavad Gita is it is a world of dualities. This place is full of dualities. It has to be dualities. There cannot be one-sided. There's pleasure, there is pain. There's happiness, there's distress. There's healthy, you're sick. You're rich, you're poor. There's always duality in everything. Yeah? The same thing which probably would give happiness at one point may be the cause of distress later. Yeah? So it is bound to change. They are just like the two sides of the same coin. Can you have a coin only with one side? Yes? Can you have a coin with only one side? No. It's the same way this world is full of dualities, both sides. One of the devotees was explaining that sometimes when the couple are in love, they say, oh, I can't spend a moment without you. Right? I just can't spend a moment without you. And within some time, they come to the point, I just can't have a moment standing with you. I just can't stand you for a moment. Right? The same pleasure turns to pain. Right? Next. So many other achievements we may have in this world. You know, when you're victorious of an interview, you get a good job and so much. But then it comes along with a package of frustration and misery. Yes? It happens. Both sides. Next. So the two sides of the same coin. Next. So the basic understanding we come is victory is of two different types. Yes? Victory, when we achieve, we're successful, we gain something, it's real. It's not that it's unreal. It's real. But it is relative. It is relative. And it will change. We will discuss later of how few things. But it's relative victory. And there will be change. Yes? Next. So things that we can acquire, whatever we acquire, whatever we have, things can give pleasure to the mind and the senses. You may have 10 gadgets and all these things that this boy has here. Yeah, so many things, gold, wealth, everything. It gives pleasure to the mind and senses. But it cannot give satisfaction for the soul. It does not give satisfaction for the soul. Why? Because the soul needs love. Okay? The soul is hankering for love, and none of these things are going to give you love. The soul is eternal. It is searching for love. And none of these things can actually fulfill that. Yeah? It cannot be satisfied. We may try this, try that, this, that. Yeah, senses are, mind will give some pleasure, but not satisfaction. There's always that vacuum because the soul is not satisfied. And the soul is satisfied by love. And love not just some temporary flickering pleasure. Eternal love, because the soul is eternal. Right? So it is seeking that love from an ocean, a reservoir of love. Small, small, tiny glasses of love will not suffice. Reservoir of love. And that is the Supreme Lord. Because He is Satchit Ananda. It's an ocean, reservoir of love. Yes? And the soul is satisfied only when that is connected to the reservoir of love. Then it's satisfied. Otherwise, little pleasure here, there, again vacuum. A little, you know, you try to seek a little, again sad. Yes? That vacuum. Next. You can all take a break from the class now. Can you see what this is? It's not clear? Actually, it's not. Sorry? Kheer. Sweet rice. Yes, it is sweet rice. But I'm very sorry. The slide is not really displaying how beautiful it is. It's yummy. Just looking at it. So just imagine that all of you have a cup each of this in your hand. For I can explain what is there. There's kesar. There are dry fruits. And it's just yummy. Okay? All of you have it in your hands? Yes? And the spoon there next to it. Okay? With that spoon, there's this huge sand dune here. So with that spoon, I'll just take only half teaspoon of that sand and put it in your kheer. How would it be? It's yummy kheer with kesar and dry fruits and... But I'll just put half teaspoon of sand inside that. How would that be? Yeah? Still yummy? Huh? You say, oh yeah, give second serves. I want to drink. You'll do that? Anyone for second serves? You can take the second serve. I'm feeding you for free. No. You want a relish? It's very attractive. But the minute you put in, sand destroys everything, right? That's material happiness. That is the happiness that we get with this relative victory. Relative victory gives us that happiness. It's attractive. We want it. We want to relish it. But what happens? Sand. Yeah? So this is what the Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures explain is what is the happiness, the victory that we get from material acquisition. Another very nice example, next. Some good news that none of you have to go home today. You'll all be hosted in Oberoi Hilton Towers, very close. Chetna organizers will eat me up sponsoring a room in Hilton Towers. No, but this is just a part of our project of the class. So suppose... Just imagine that you have this room in Oberoi, amazing bed. You're really tired, I know, coming all the way, sitting in the class and just going on and on. You just want to go and lie down. It's a cozy bed, very soft, very nice. Yes? But the only thing is that there are a few pins there. You see this? The pins. They have been scattered all around in the bed. Just few. Here and there. They're there in the bed. But you can enjoy the bed. How does that sound? Huh? Good? Why? Why? What will happen every time you move? There's a prick. It's a prick. Yes? So Prabhupada explains in his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam that human society has made immense progress with economic development and so many facilities and everything. But there is still a pinprick in the society. Each person feels a prick. Yes? Everything is nice. But, yes? That is relative victory. Yes? Yeah. So we come to this very quick differentiation. So we are talking about the relative victory which is there, which we can acquire easily. But we are not seeking that. We want something which is beyond, without all those problems. Without the sand, without the prick, right? We want something which would be really pleasurable. So a quick differentiation between relative victory and what we are seeking for is absolute victory. Yes? So relative victory is temporary, right? You agree? Yes? Has everyone understood the concept of relative victory? Yes, it's temporary. And it can be taken away any time, whether you like it or not. But absolute victory means that victory remains forever. Yes? Relative victory is initial pleasure and later pain. But absolute victory has to be always pleasurable. Relative victory, lot of insecurity. Once you achieve it, that doesn't mean that's over, right? Like the Indian cricket team, we said. It doesn't mean over. No. So keep on trying. Oh, maybe I'll not be taken. Maybe I'll not win. Maybe I'll get this. Insecurity of losing what you have, right? But absolute victory means there's no anxiety. There's no insecurity. Relative victory is a cause of distress to others. I'm victorious means someone else is defeated, right? Yeah, I'm euphoric, I'm happy, but there's someone else who's in distress, right? So that's relative victory. It causes happiness to one and gives distress to others. But absolute victory is everyone is happy. Yeah? And the last point is relative victory is limited. Very few will get it. Like if you're aspiring for a seat in IIT, there are few seats. Some will get in, some will not get in. Right? But absolute victory is for everyone. Unlimited. Unlimited entry. Yeah? Anyone, everyone can achieve it. Next. Yes. So then the Bhagavad Gita goes on to explain that if you want the absolute victory, then what you should do? What is the precondition? So the precondition is that instead of all the competitors and enemies outside, there are six enemies sitting here within us. Yes? And they are the ones who torment us the most. Yes? And we have to be victorious on them. And who are these enemies? Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion. Constantly pricking us. Constantly torturing us. So actually in Sanskrit, another word for enemy is Ari. So right now our heart is Ari Sadan or Ari Nivas. The Nivas of Ari, A-R-I. Okay? They are our enemies. There is their residence. But if we want to have that absolute victory, then we have to push them out. And how to push them out? Is when the soul gets connected to the Supreme Lord, that is Hari. These are Ari, A-R-I. But you get in Hari, H-A-R-I, and make your heart Hari Nivas, then all these Aris will evacuate it completely. Yes? Then one can be absolutely victorious. And what happens when you're connected with the Lord, when the soul is connected with the Supreme Lord? It's supreme bliss. Unending happiness, all the factors that we spoke about in absolute victory, that's what's achievable. Yes? Next. That frown and worry is gone. Yes? Supreme bliss. It's completely sheltered, completely secure, completely pleasurable. Pleasurable for oneself and for everyone around. Why? Because connected to the Supreme Lord, never a cause of distress to others. Yeah? And takes complete shelter of the holy name. Yes? Next. So actually Gautam Buddha, he explains that how it's better to conquer one's own self, that is these enemies, these anarthas in our heart, than win a thousand battles Because that victory cannot be taken away from you. We saw in relative victory, whatever victory we have, it will be taken away. Correct? But this victory, as victory of your own self, victory on your those inner dormant enemies, yeah, and connecting to the Lord, that cannot be taken away from you. Nobody. So there's no insecurity. Nothing. Yes? Next. Yeah. So to illustrate this point, we will today just spend a few minutes on understanding this beautiful pastime which took place in the Ramayana. Anyone here who doesn't know what is Ramayana? I hope not. Everyone knows what's Ramayana, right? So, okay. In the Ramayana, when Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman, well, after Lord Ram was banished, he was in the forest. For 14 years he was banished, so almost 12 years had passed, and this is the 13th year. They were in a forest called the Dandakaranya forest, which is near Nasik. And these places are still there, huh, if you ever visit Nasik. So when they were in the Dandakaranya forest, at that time Ravana, the king of Sri Lanka, and he was a demoniac personality, when he heard about the beauty of Sita Devi, who is the wife of Lord Ram, he wanted to take her away for his own enjoyment. Yeah? So somehow he has his conspiracy hatched, and when Ram and Lakshman are not there, he kidnaps Sita Devi. Everyone knows this? Yes? Okay. So Sita Devi is all alone, and Ravan, a very powerful demon with 10 heads, Dashamukha, and 20 arms, this delicate young Sita, beautiful Sita, he just drags her and he kidnaps her. So he's going on his Pushpak Viman. He's at the height of his opulence. Wealthy, powerful, famous, everything that one would wish and hope for. And he was going in his Vimana, his airplane, with Sita Devi, dragging her. And at that time, Sita Devi is crying piteously. She's calling out for Ram, Lakshman. And then, as they're going in the forest, she sees Jatayu. Jatayu is an old vulture. He's a bird, he's a vulture. And he's around 60,000 years old at this point of time. He's a friend of Maharaj Dasharath, who's the father of Lord Ram. And he lives in this forest, which is a dense forest of Dandakaranya. And this, the Jatayu was lying on the tree and he was asleep. And Sita Devi, when she sees Jatayu, she starts crying. She says, Jatayu, please just inform Lord Ram that this horrible Rakshasa is kidnapping me. Please, you just inform Ram. So when Jatayu hears this sound, he looks up and he sees Sita Devi. And when he sees Sita Devi in that condition with this horrible demon, he is so upset. He's so angry because he's such a steadfast devotee. His life, his soul is completely to please Lord Ram. And when he sees the property of Lord Ram in the hands of this Rakshasa, he is very, very upset. And he's about to charge at Ravana. But now, important is you need to understand that, as I said, Ravana was at the peak of his glory. Okay, he was a strong person. He was a demon with so many weapons and power and everything. And Jatayu is how many years old, I said? 60,000 years old. An old vulture. With no weapons. Right? And he's just lying there and he comes to attack Ravana. Now, what is the chance of him ever, winning with Ravana? So actually, he could have just made an excuse and he said, okay, I will inform Ram. I'll inform. Sita Devi just told him that. And Sita tells him, please, Jatayu, don't even attempt. Don't even attempt to fight Ravan. You will not be able to do it. He's too powerful. You just inform Ram. Next. So at that point of time, Jatayu could have done just that. But Jatayu just didn't do that. What did he do? He attacked Ravana with his claws. He didn't have any weapons. and Ravana was shooting so many arrows, and Jatai was trying to, you know, fling it away with his wings, and this was going on. What we need to understand at this point of time, what do you see there? Rose. And do you see something else also? Thorns. Yeah? Is that we need to see our perspective in life. Some person would see this as a beautiful rose among so many thorns. Or someone would say, oh, there are so many thorns with this rose. Right? It depends on how we see it. Same way, Jatayu could have just seen it as, okay, oh, I can't do anything about it. He had his excuse, right? He could have just said, oh, I'm too old, I can't get up. Huh? But Jatayu didn't think that. What did he see? He saw the positive opportunity to go ahead and do something. Correct? Yes? So every time in life, we get this. Yes? Next. Opportunities come for everything. For our betterment, for our purification, for our service. But when opportunity knocks at the door, some people just complain about the noise it makes. Yes? But Jatayu is not one of them. He just took full, whatever little strength he had, he charged at Ravan. He was attacking. And Ravan initially thought he's just an old little vulture. You know, what will he do? But then he realized that this, and every time Jatayu was seeing Sita Devi crying, he would just get renewed vigor. You know, he wanted to do it. He wanted to fight and try his best till the last drop. And Sita was telling him, Jatayu, enough. You will not be able to do it. But she was just, and at one point, Ravan actually, you know, put Sita down because he realized earlier he was doing everything with one side. But now he realized this vulture is, you know, too determined. So he puts Sita down and he starts, you know, really fighting. And at that time, he even attacks his arms. Ravana's arms, he cuts them off. Again, new arms come. Then Jatayu attacks his chariot driver. He attacks the animals. He does everything. And then it's almost like, and more than an hour of fighting, fierce fighting. And Jatayu is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And Ravana realizes that. So what does he do next? He just takes his sword and cuts off Jatayu's wings. And Jatayu just falls down on the ground, soaked in blood completely. And Sita Devi, she just runs to Jatayu and she just catches him. And she's crying. She says, Jatayu, you sacrificed your life for me. And she's just shedding tears. And Ravan just comes and he just pulls Sita Devi and he's off. And at that time, what is Jatayu thinking? Sometimes when adversities and things go wrong in our life, when we are trying to become spiritual and try to want to serve the Lord and all, things seem to go wrong, right? And Jatayu would have said, oh Ram, what is this? What is this? Why did you do this to me? I was trying to serve you. I was trying to save Sita. But is this what Jatayu was thinking? No. He was in his heart thinking that at least I tried to do my best. Yeah? And this statement is very important. One of our senior sannyasis, Sridhar Maharaj, when he was in his terminal stages of illness, he was in a lot of, his health was very bad. But he would always say this, pain is inevitable. Here, pain is going to come. But suffering is optional. Yeah? You don't need to suffer. Pain is there. But how do we look at it? What is our perspective? That is what makes us victorious or defeated. Yes? Next. So Jatayu was lying there. And he was soaked in blood. And Lord Ram and Lakshman come, you know, after they realize that Sita Devi is kidnapped, they come there and they see Jatayu. And they just can't make out because he's completely covered in blood. And but then hear him chanting the name of Ram. So Lord Ram, he just comes and he just takes Jatayu on his lap and just looking at his condition, and Jatayu gives him the information that this is what has happened. Ravan has taken away. And he says, my Lord, I tried my best, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't save Sita. He's just lamenting for what he couldn't do. And then he's about to leave his body because he was just holding on to his life so that he could do that service of giving the information to Lord Ram. And then the Lord sends him back to the spiritual world, back to Vaikuntha. And then Lord Ram says that actually I have gone through so much. He was banished from Ayodhya, his father left his body, and now Sita was taken away. He said all those miseries are there, but this misery of losing such a dear devotee who dedicated his life, just sacrificed his life just for me, is more painful than anything else. And then Lord Ram himself performed the last rites for Jatayu. Can you imagine? Even Maharaj Dashrath, his own father, did not get this. But a vulture is considered to be the lowest grade even in birds, you know. A vulture, Jatayu, got this. The Supreme Lord performing his last rites. So this is so hope-giving. The Jatayu gave up his life just for Ram. So now you tell me who is victorious and who is defeated. Apparently Ravan won, right? He was victorious. He defeated Jatayu and he went off. And Jatayu just fell down on the ground. So who is victorious and who is defeated? Yeah? Yes. This we can understand only we think of relative and absolute victory. Right? Ravan had relative victory. He did win that battle. But what happened later? He lost his war. He lost his life because of what he did here. But Jatayu, apparently defeated by any material calculation, he's a defeated, he's a loser. But spiritually, in the eyes of the Lord, he is a winner. Victorious. Absolute victory. Yes? Do you understand this? Yes. So this is a very, very beautiful example. Next. So this is absolute victory. Next. So we may think sometimes that when we are doing, you know, devotion or practicing spiritual life or so many things, or we follow the principles of morality and, you know, so many ideals, sometimes we are not doing anything. We are apparently not successful in this world. You feel, you know, what's happening? I'm just stuck up here. I don't have much money. I'm not so wealthy. I'm not so famous. But look at my other friends. They are not having any values and ideals, you know, no morality, just cheating others, doing all sorts of things. But apparently they're successful. They are the ones who get promotions. They are the ones who make money. They are the ones who are there. Done it. What am I doing here? Right? At that time, we need to understand that the example of Jatayu. Do we want relative victory or do you want absolute victory? That is a choice we need to make. Yes? Next. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Kali Yuga, this material world, is an ocean of faults. You see this ocean here? Can you see the end of the ocean? No. It's an ocean of faults. So many things are wrong. Every day you'll find a new fault. Not even every day, probably every moment you'll say, oh, this is not right, that's not right, this is not good, that's... It's an ocean of faults. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan. Asti eko mahatguna. There is only one good quality. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga prarabhrajet. That only good quality is when the soul takes shelter of the names of the Supreme Lord. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. So, next. The holy name that we all chanted in the beginning is the only hope. That is the one that can make everyone victorious. Absolute victory. Not the victory of Ravana. We don't want the victory of Ravana. Yes? It's not something that we need to. Whatever comes our way, we take it. But not the victory of Ravana. Yes? So the shelter of the holy name is our only hope in this ocean of faults. Next. So when Lord Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is what he says. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The Sankirtan, when the chanting of the holy names, is Param Vijayate, supremely victorious. You're looking for victory? Yes, supremely victorious. Otherwise, we're all defeated. The body that we've taken is going to defeat us. Birth, old age, disease, this torment, that torment. We saw all that, right? Yeah? This trouble, that trouble. It's a defeat. It's a complete defeat. And there's nothing you can do to rectify. But, what is the hope? Yes. The holy name. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Hi, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we're sitting here and talking about victory, absolute victory, real victory, is all because of Srila Prabhupada. Huh? He is the one who, he's the ultimate example of victory and defeat. What Jatayu attempted to do is the same thing what Srila Prabhupada attempted to do. Huh? Can you imagine? At the age of 70, yes, attempting to go to the American, to the United States of America, and preaching what? About Lord Ram. Huh? To the culture of Ravana, you're giving Ram. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. And so much trouble, so much defeat. Here in India, no support, no money, 40 rupees. Huh? And he went there. No value, that 40 rupees. But what a victory. Huh? Just one devotee, as my father was explaining, that how it's at every moment, according to the time, you know, every country is in a different longitude and a latitude. But definitely at every moment, at every longitude and latitude, sometime in the 24 hours, someone is glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Yes? When we are sleeping, there's Mangal Arati, you know, in Canada or the US, and they are grateful to Srila Prabhupada. And when they're sleeping, we are here and we are being grateful. So can you imagine the entire planet? What a victory. Glorifying this personality who attempted to teach us, who made his best in spite of so many difficulties to give us this. Yes? So we can be we just have to be so grateful for what we have received. Next. So Prabhupada, all alone, with no companion, no support. This is actually victory. What he has given, this beautiful temple here, we're sitting, we're starting from this. Can you see this? This was the beginning. Next. So today we'll just repeat this shloka before we end. This is from the Bhagavad Gita, where it says that any attempt on this victory is never lost. This shloka says, can you all repeat after me? Neha bikramana sosti.
Neha bikramana sosti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Svalpam api asya dharmasya.
Trayate mahato bhaya.
Trayate mahato bhaya.
Next. So the translation is, in this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So even if a little attempt we make to understand this absolute truth on the path of absolute victory, even if a little attempt, it's not lost. It's always gain. There is never a loss. And I'll just end with this last shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, when we are talking of victory. At the end, Sanjaya tells Dhritarashtra, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Udanurdhana, Tatra Sri Vijayor Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. That wherever there is Krishna, and wherever there is a devotee Arjuna, there's always victory. Yes? Apparently one may not understand externally, but it's always victory. Next. So even if you forget the whole class, no problem. Just, these are the four points. Probably you can just remember that. That material acquisitions and whatever we have is relative victory. The soul is eternal, the second point. And it can be victorious only when connected with the Supreme Lord. The third is, chanting the holy names is the most effective means of connecting to the Supreme Lord. And the story of Laudir, Jatayu. Dasera is coming. Vijayadashami is on the 24th. So this is a very, 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 very nice pastime to meditate upon and think how we can, implement and put this quality in our lives. Next. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the organizers. And thank you to each and every one of you for such attentive hearing and interacting so nicely. And thanks to Srila Prabhupada and all his disciples, because they are actually teaching us what is victory and what is absolute victory. Yeah. In the most difficult and defeatable situations. And I would also like to thank all the devotees. What I have spoken is actually an input from many devotees. I have just compiled it and put it in front of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.